Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Ole Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Ole Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
All right, I am Jay Fratt. This is the Ole Insider podcast, live and direct from the Positive Intentions Media Studios in Olympia, Washington. I'm flying solo today. Erica Engelhart is busy doing other things. She is a star and a champion for the People's Voice. I'm going to link an article. Erica actually made it into the Olympian newspaper this week, covered by the reporter who covers Washington state politics. Erica had a viral video on Twitter that was... What was it doing? It was poking fun and probing why legislators weren't paying attention to her public testimony with more sincerity and intent to listen. And that actually went viral, got picked up by a reporter who was trying to get some drama clickbait. It's a small skirmish, but Erica is there to fight for you and your voice, and it was pretty neat to see that. So I'll link to that article at the top of the show notes. But let's get into this. This episode of Ole Insider is going to get right to the meat, right to the heart of the questions as we try to dive into the legislative process to understand it better, to get you in the game so the citizens can be the watchdogs and participants in the legislative process. That's the way it's supposed to be. So we've got to learn about it. Right now, this week is cutoff week for policies. In other words, this is the final week for bills to get through their policy committees in both sides of the legislature. Last episode, we had some questions about the sausage making and a little bit of confusion when a bill passes out of committee and it goes to Ways and Means or it goes to Rules. I had the very fortunate opportunity to speak with Representative Travis Couture and Senator Drew McEwen, and they answered some of these questions that we had in the last episode, as well as progressed some of our information on a bill that we were tracking. So let's get right into that. Let's hear from the experts. Let's hear from the participants, our elected representatives. First up is Travis Couture, and we start the conversation about this SVP package, Sexually Violent Predators Package, where he had his smaller bill, HB 1091, pass out of committee early, and then the bill HB 1133 that we've been tracking since the beginning of Ole Insider actually has executive committee session today as I'm recording this. Travis talks about the strategy and the sausage making, the process that this bill, these two bills that are related, go through. So let's hear from him.
1091 passed out of the Community Safety Committee. They executed out an executive session. And then where it goes now, because it doesn't have any fiscal impact, it would go to a budget committee if it had fiscal impact. Anything generally over $50,000, right? But now it'll go to the Rules Committee, which is kind of this kind of shadowy committee. It's not on TVW, right? Like it's not a true committee. It's like no one testifies at it, right? The Rules Committee is where it's like the last stop before the House floor. And this is where the members of the Rules Committee will argue and negotiate over which bills are going to come to the House floor, right? And of course, the majority rules in that committee, just like all the other committees. So 1091, which is my bill about ending the supervision compliant compliance credits for sexually violent predators in less restrictive alternatives. That was a loophole in the law. It's frustrated not only the Attorney General's office, but, you know, many other things. And granted, it's not going to solve the world of SVPs in our communities or anything like that, but it is a step in the right direction. And sometimes in Olympia, you break off little bits and pieces of what you can get today, hoping for a bigger reform tomorrow. Of course, we'd love a huge reform, right? But that's looking very unlikely to get that this session, which is super frustrating. But in the event that we can get smaller things across the line, then great. So part of how do you get those things across the line is a part of the reason for the next bill, House Bill 1133. By putting the language of 1091 into House Bill 1133, I double its survivability, right? Once, I think it's on the February 20th, that 1133 should be exempt out of committee, the Community Safety Committee as well, you would say, well, great. Now sitting in Rules Committee is a narrow bill, my bill, that just tackles supervision compliance credit. And then you've got a little bit of a broader bill that tackles some of the court proceedings as it relates to sexually violent predators, which is something we want. But also included in that is the language for the supervision compliance credit. If in Rules Committee there is consternation, if we get 1133 passed, then fine, great. That's a win, right? It's the broader, it fixes more things, right? Including the thing that I wanted to fix. But if for some reason the Rules Committee has issues with some of that additional language and they don't want to run that bill on the floor, then they have a secondary option, which is my bill that is a little bit narrower but still does something we want to have done. And so at the end of the day, it could turn out that neither of them go to the House floor for a vote, which would be super unfortunate. But I'm not in Rules Committee. I'm not a part of that executive leadership team. I'm not the Speaker of the House who is ultimately deciding these things in the Rules Committee. The Speaker runs the Rules Committee. And so, but I'm expanding the survivability rate of the SVP policy going to the floor. And then there's another bill that Dan Griffey has for SVP ankle monitoring. Same deal. It got exec'd out. It's sitting in Rules. And as a matter of fact, that bill got pulled from Rules to be eligible for the House floor. So that's another interesting thing that we plopped into the whole SVP package, as you put it. And it's just another piece of the puzzle, right? It doesn't solve everything, but that's the reason to do things like this. It might seem kind of confusing from the outside, but you want your language, your changes, to survive the process. And that's already hard, even if you have a good bill. And then if any of these or all of them pass the House floor, then we have to do it all over again in the Senate. And that's even harder, you know, to make it survive. What makes it better is that none of these bills have a fiscal impact, or at least very negligible. And in a budget year such as this, where you're facing a $10 billion deficit to solve, those bills seem to survive a little bit easier than the ones that spend money.
That was a great analysis and explainer from Representative Couture, helping us understand the process of bills as they exec out, as he says, out of the policy committee, going to the Rules. I did have a follow-up question for him because we got a good explainer there on the Rules and going to the House floor. But there's this, there's another step where bills, if they do have a fiscal impact, they go to another committee. And I was able to ask him about that.
Yeah, so like in the Senate, you have Ways and Means, which is their budget committee, right? So when a bill gets introduced, it gets referred to a policy committee, unless it was just a budget-related bill to begin with, then it will go straight to appropriations in the House or Ways and Means in the Senate, right? Two different names for essentially the same committee. And that's common with policy committees between the House and the Senate. They don't have the same names. And that's because there's less senators. So they lump things in together, right? If your bill that went to policy committee has a fiscal impact that is, well, there's no real rule, but it's like more than de minimis, right? So it's, if, and we kind of look at that as $50,000 or more, right? That has a fiscal impact on that bill, then it will, if it passes through the policy committee, let's just use this as an example. You drop a bill that says, I want a grant program for schools, and the grant is $1 million. It goes to the policy committee, like education committee, and they say, yeah, we like that grant program, and they pass it out. Then that bill will go to the Appropriations or Ways and Means Committee, depending on which side it originated on. And then they will vote, yeah, do we want to spend money for that bill? Do we want to spend that $1 million on that? So they'll vote again. And if it passes out of the Appropriations or Ways and Means Committee, then it goes to Rules. And there's Senate Rules and there's House Rules. They're both called Rules. And that's where it will sit, and the leadership and the Rules Committee and the Speaker or the Majority Leader of the Senate will decide, you know, ultimately if that's going to the House or Senate floor, where it will be voted. If it goes to the floor, then they could vote it out of the chamber. And once it gets voted out of the chamber, you have this House of Origin cutoff. Which place did the bill originate? And then there's a cutoff. Now each one is done with the ones that we started with, the bills that we started with. Now we're going to flip sides. All the Senate bills get heard in the House. All the House bills get heard in the Senate. And we go through that whole process all over again. And if it passes both the House floor and the Senate floor, then it gets sent to the governor.
And we are in policy cutoff week, so these policy committees where the bill is originating in the original House has the cutoff this week to get through policy committee. Coming up, as he just mentioned there, there's also a House of Origin cutoff. That's to pass these bills that originate in one particular side of the legislature to actually pass through that side. That's coming up on March 12th. I was able to also speak with Senator Drew McEwen, who had some additive comments about this Rules and Appropriations, Ways and Means Committees, and some of the strategy and a little bit deeper thought in terms of the way these committees are used and the process.
And some things get, quote, hung up in Ways and Means, but Ways and Means has the luxury of doesn't necessarily have to abide by cutoff dates as much as other committees do, because anything that makes it to Ways and Means is part of the budget, and the budget is part of the overall session process that we really don't have the full answer on until the end of the session. So that's why you might see some things clear out of there quicker than others. Others, it might be more of a deliberation on, you know, are we going to be able to afford this?
And I was able to ask him, because to me it seemed like if it makes it to Ways and Means, it's almost a guaranteed pass as I was learning this process. So we discussed a little bit more on bills that get hung up and or killed in Ways and Means.
Yeah, that if it costs too much money, and that's always the answer. If you don't want something to pass out of Ways and Means, they won't bring it to a vote. They're not going to vote something down. You don't see that happen. You don't. That's a little bit of, generally speaking, politics 101. You don't bring something to a vote that you don't have the votes for. Sometimes policy bills will find themselves in Ways and Means unintentionally, where they didn't necessarily need to go there, but they get there in order for the majority party to be able to kill a bill and not have to, because they don't want the underlying policy. So there's a couple of components to it. It's part of the proverbial sausage making. It takes, if you're the sponsor of a given bill, it's finding its way to Ways and Means. You have to know how to work that and get with the right members that are on the committee.
great to spend some time with Senator Drew McEwen and get his insight and perspective. I pushed a little bit more because I wanted to get some information on companion bills, something that we've been contemplating here on the Oli Insider podcast. In particular, we're tracking HB 1018. That's one of those agency request bills from FSEC, Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council, adding fusion energy to the language. And giving a pathway. We've done shows on that. It has a companion bill, SB 5241. Well, HB 1018 passed through the House side, and it will be going to the Senate. So I asked him a little bit more about the strategy and the logic behind companion bills.
There's a couple of reasons. It's strategy. It also comes down to some members in both chambers. You know, if they feel very strongly about a given policy, they want to give it the best chance at success. And that's ultimately why you have companion bills. Agencies are always big on having companion bills because they're always paranoid that they're not going to get something through. But you do it because you might, because we do have these cutoff dates, and what that is that you have to, we have one coming this Friday, and that bills in their house of origin, so all Senate bills that are policy bills, have to be passed out of committee by this Friday in order to be eligible to be on the floor of the Senate for a full vote. If something does not get passed out by this Friday, it's dead. And you, what you end up having that last week, which we're in right now, of a cutoff period, is things start to get bottlenecked. And I mean, invariably delays happen, amendments happen. And so a bill, while might have all the support it needs to get out of committee and get to the Senate floor, gets caught up in that logjam that happens in a cutoff week. And so by having a companion bill, you always have another vehicle to be able to get through. And so if something happens in one chamber, you can try to hopefully get it through in the other chamber. So it's really, it's kind of a safety mechanism, if you will, for a piece of legislation. The other side of it also, though, is for some efficiencies if needed. So let's say that a given House bill gets all the way through the House and its Senate companion bill got heard in committee but never got it voted out. Well, if their language is identical, it helps in this example, that House bill can, when it gets to the Senate committee, the Senate can move it quite quicker and say, hey, we've already heard the companion bill to this. We're going to move this into executive session, which is where you vote it out. That's the prerogative of the chair to do something like that. So it's the reason for companion bills is to help ensure that your proposed policy is going to make it through the legislature. There's no guarantee to it, but it gives you another avenue if you run into an issue in one chamber.
That's it. That's the episode. Hearing directly from the legislators, helping us try to understand the legislative process to get you in the game and help you participate in our governance. That's what it's all about. Erica Engelhart will be back on the next episode. She was busy being the working stiff that she is. We'll see you the next time.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Oli Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oliinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.